A flooded yoga studio, a job outsourced to the Philippines, a son who wants a bar mitzvah not for the spiritual realization, but for the financial one. Do any of these problems sound familiar? And if they do, do you by any chance live in New Jersey? Novelist Deborah Gallant does, and she's devoted her literary career to it. Her latest iteration of Life in the Garden State is called Fear and Yoga in New Jersey. That's right, Fear and Yoga in New Jersey. And it has just been published by the St. Martin's Press. And she's here now to talk about stressed out yoga instructors, life in New Jersey, and even tax assessors. Hi, Deborah. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi.
Now, I want you to read a section from your novel that seems to nicely encapsulate the character Nina's worldview. She's driving in her car, listening to music on WFUV, no less, and she thinks to herself,
Nina rolled down the windows to enjoy the breeze, then turned to WFUV, which just happened to be playing Carrie, one of her favorite Joni Mitchell songs. The traffic lights all turned green as she approached, as if synchronized for her personal convenience. She started planning dinner, and it didn't seem like a chore at all, but play. Did they have any wine? She'd put on music while she puttered in the kitchen, not all things considered. Why did she always torture herself with all the death and despair, the suicide bombings, plane crashes, earthquakes, and hurricanes? The news destroyed chi. Music attracted it. Why hadn't she figured this out before now?
Ouch. Why did we put that on the air? Nobody's going to listen to All Things Considered anymore. Truth or parody?
Truth or parody. Well, I mean, it's all parody, but it all comes from that the minds, you know, verbalizing internally about all the things that we women are scared of and ruminating about in the suburbs.
On your blog, you wrote that you were looking for a name for the Ninas of the world. Did you ever come up with a term? You felt politically correct wasn't quite right.
A politically correct is, you know, approaches it, but it's such an old-fashioned term, actually. It's at least 25 years old. What I was getting to in that blog was the idea that Nina is sort of like the white glove testing ladies of yore. She is just as judgmental as the little biddies in Main Street, but she's judgmental about other things. She's judgmental if you don't recycle. She's judgmental if you don't drive a Prius. She hates people who drive Hummers. But she, you know, she's equally judgmental. That was what I was talking about there.
Or to quote a line from your book, I think this is describing Nina when she's a beginning yoga student, when she enters a class during quiet time and adopts, quote, an exaggerated pretense of civility, or else her interpretation of Marcel Marceau imitating a burglar.
Right.
You want to talk about that moment?
That's actually the beginning of the book, when one of her students comes running into her yoga nidra, which is the relaxation moment of yoga. And this student, Debbie Jacobs, comes running in with great excitement, and Nina is just rolling her eyes about this. Why is this woman coming in? It turns out that what Debbie Jacobs has seen is that her chakra meditation fountain has overflowed, and there's water all over the waiting room. And this leads to, you know, numerous bad and inauspicious things in Nina's life.
You're making fun of at least a quarter of our listeners.
Maybe half. Maybe three quarters.
And the title of your book could also be, someone has suggested, Fear and Self-Loathing in New Jersey. Is this book about you?
Is this book about me? Gosh, I'm glad you asked that question, because my mom thinks it's about her. She thinks she's the grandmother. No, I mean, I think that all of my female characters are, you know, get something from me, or I add something to them. But I don't think I'm Nina. I don't think I try so hard to be politically correct. I don't drive a Prius.
But your novel plays into a fear that many urbanites, particularly women, have about the suburbs, that if you move out to a suburb, your life becomes a lot smaller. And at the end of the novel, I don't know, should we say the end of the novel on the air, or should I refrain from this? But let's just say there was not a lot of self-realization happening there.
No. She moves on from yoga and feng shui to a drumming circle. That's about as far as she gets in terms of, but that doesn't really spoil the plot at all.
Let's see. We have a quote here from another chapter. I don't know if you're supposed to read this or if I am, but here Nina goes into Manhattan on a quest for something feng shui related, and she's on the subway. Do you know which passage I'm talking about?
Actually, I have a passage that was, no, I wasn't given
okay,
that
so
one.
Okay, so let me read this one. I'll read it. She thinks, it was hard to feel solid in such a place, or to use the language of yoga, to feel rooted. And it was this thought, this not feeling rooted, that made her realize in a crushing instant of self-recognition that she'd become a suburbanite. All of this, the subterranean grittiness with its hipsters and its homeless and its incessant motion and the screech of brakes and the omnipresent stench of urine, was dirty and unpleasant. She was becoming her mother.
It's such a terrible thing. I'm sure my children fear it.
And everybody does become their mother or their father in some way, to their great astonishment at some point in their lives, usually, right?
Absolutely.
Is there a moral? I mean, what do you hope readers get out of this story?
I hope that, I mean, aside from a laugh, that they look at their own pretensions of righteousness and look a little bit beyond that.
But what does that mean? Does it mean vote Republican? Does it mean not care so much about the state of the planet?
Well, no, but it means maybe be like Michael, who is the husband, the beleaguered husband in the story. And I have a scene after he's just burned the pancakes and the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door and he actually invites them in. And, you know, without trying to sound like a saint, I'm really nice to the Jehovah's Witnesses in my neighborhood. They always knock on my door and I come down and I look and I, you know, I roll my eyes and then I open the door and they hand me their things and I take them and I smile and that's it. But Nina would have been furious had she known that the Jehovah's Witnesses came into her house and actually had pancakes with her husband.
So, listeners in New Jersey or anywhere else, does this Nina character sound like you? Call us up for novelist Deborah Gallant, Gallant, whose latest book of Life in the Garden State is called Fear and Yoga in New Jersey. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I'm told you live in Montclair, correct?
I actually live in Glen Ridge. I live in outer Montclair, or a state of mind that we call Baristaville.
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 So do your books make you persona non grata among the sushi-eating, Starbucks going, yoga practicing residents of Baristaville?
I would say that I am sort of loved and hated in Baristaville. Baristaville refers to the blog that I have called Baristanet, and it's a place blog, a local blog, all about Montclair, Glen Ridge, and Bloomfield that gets read by about 9,000 people a day.
Baristanet.
Baristanet.com.
And what do you do there?
I'm the founder, the editor-in-chief, and we blog. We're basically sort of your local newspaper meets The Daily Show, or sort of a suburban gawker, if you will.
Serious issues?
Sometimes serious issues, sometimes frivolous issues.
John Corzine?
I broke that story. Carl Bergmanson, the former mayor of my town of Glen Ridge. My son was at softball practice with him and heard about his campaign to oust Corzine. So I called Carl up and I wrote about this, and then it got picked up by, you know, the AP and everybody else.
Is there a serious recall movement against John Corzine?
Well, Carl is always serious, just as he was about trying to get Pluto reinstated as a planet. He has to get 1.3 million signatures, and when I saw him at the high school play this weekend, he'd gotten 200 so far. So we'll see.
Now, wait a minute. I think Annie in Fairfield is having a moment of self-recognition, if not self-realization. Hi, Annie.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I went into the city yesterday. I've lived in the suburbs now for 10 years, but I still think of myself as a New Yorker, and I was at a little, I guess you would call it a gathering at my friend's apartment on 109th Street, and I was feeling quite unhip, and, you know, I haven't worked in a long time. I have four kids, and instead of the woman who I said, well, how do you know our host and hostess? And, you know, I'm still used to people saying, oh, we work together, or we have the same job, but they said instead, I know him professionally. And I said, wow, I don't know. Do I know anyone professionally anymore? I guess I don't.
Deborah is shaking her head.
You know, all I can say is the suburbs are the home for the perpetually unhip. And all I can advise to you is wear black and buy an iPhone. Because
you know what? I think I'll just get on the train now.
Now, wait, let me ask both of you, because as a Manhattanite, I can't figure out how people in the suburbs actually use iPods. It seems like everybody in America owns an iPod now. But how is it that how do you use them if you don't walk?
Brian, you put it in your iHome and you listen to your podcast of the Brian Lehrer Show while you're cooking.
Yes, absolutely true.
And you do it at the iGym as well, and you walk to the iHop.
Right. I understand you can use it as a home entertainment system, but people think of the iPods as the portable device. And I know you can play them in the car. That's the real answer, right? You could play them in the car.
I do walk. I walk all over the suburbs.
Do you really?
I do.
I went for a run. I was visiting somebody, and Annie, thank you for your call. I was visiting somebody in Syosset, Long Island, and I went for a run out there. And I ran about 4 miles, and I encountered exactly one pedestrian. Now, I ran through the little business district in downtown Syosset with the bakery there and the bank and the whole thing, you know, and out to up around where there's a Home Depot. So there were a lot of cars coming in, a lot of people. I encountered one pedestrian. Is it like that where you live?
No, you're coming to the wrong. You're running in the wrong suburb. You got to come to Baristaville, where we walk and run and stroke babies, and the streets are filled.
John at the Jersey Shore, you're on WNYC. Hey, John.
Hey, it doesn't sound like me, but the character in this book sounded a lot like a yoga teacher that I know. She seemed very judgmental and kind of beating people over the head about global warming and just not, it all came across as very un-yogic, if that's a word, in how judgmental it was. And if that's what you're going for, I feel like we had the same yoga teacher, or that's who Nina was based on or something.
You know, it's actually funny because, there's a mass speculation in Montclair as to who the yoga teacher is. Everybody thinks they know who the yoga teacher is. And a friend of mine who's an acupuncturist says all yoga teachers are stressed out. It's when I say it's a stressed out yoga teacher, he said that's repetitive. So I think that, maybe yoga students are seeking Zen, but the yoga teachers are, I don't know, they're like Nina.
And Brian, to answer your question,
yes.
You buy the gizmo that plays the iPod in your car,
yeah.
You buy the gizmo, the docking station, and you just have to come to pre-World War II suburban neighborhoods like where I live at the Jersey Shore. People walk everywhere because that's the way the streets are laid out. There's a sidewalk in front of my house, and it actually goes somewhere. I don't have to jump in my car to go to the dry cleaners or the beach or the wherever.
Thanks for your call. By the way, Deborah, you wrote on BaristaNet that you appealed your property tax assessment. Now, that's going to make a lot of New Jerseyans and Long Island people and Westchester people and even a few New York City residents' ears perk up. What happened?
Well, I actually haven't appealed it yet, but I went in to talk to the tax assessor, Bill Merdinger, and I'm glad you read that because I'm very proud of that little story. I think I said Bill Merdinger is the most cussed, obstinate, difficult, guy that you'll ever find in Bro Hall these days, and I think you'll be proud. He'd be proud to hear that. Haven't appealed it yet, but, I'm working on getting into the inner sanctum. This guy, who's the tax assessor for our town, having the first tax appeal in 20 of tax revaluation in 25 years, is the only person in the United States who does not have an email address. So people are getting a little frustrated.
He's smart. Fran, also in Upper Montclair. You're on WNYC. Hi, Fran.
Hi. I'm calling from Upper Montclair.
Hi, Fran.
I know everything that Debbie's talking about. And I'm calling to say that I have advice for the lady who said she was very intimidated. She went to a party and the person answered her, when she said, how do you know the host? And he said, oh, I know him professionally. And she was very intimidated and took the next train home. I was going to suggest that she should just give it right back and say something like, oh, I'm so sorry, you're a white-collar criminal and he's helping you get your bail lowered, or something like that. Don't you think suburbanites should be fighting back?
I think suburbanites should be fighting back. We're just as cool as the Manhattanites. Absolutely, Fran.
Fran, thank you. But you wrote on your blog that Sure, white people may say they like Kite Runner or Water for Elephants, but what they really like is reading about their very own vanity and hypocrisy. That's why white people like the website Stuff White People Like, and why they will like Fear and Yoga in New Jersey. No self-promotion there. Once they find out about it. So are you pandering to your readers?
I always pander to my readers. Do you pander to your listeners?
Absolutely. Not. And is Glenn Ridge, we're going to run out of time in a minute or two. Oh, all right, wait. Magda in Montclair, we're going to sneak you in here. Hi, Magda.
Hi there.
Real quick.
Well, I don't know the author, but I've lived in Montclair from the Upper West Side for about 4 years. And upon hearing the initial intro, I would have bet $1 million that she lived in Montclair or Glen Ridge. And I don't know exactly what that says about Baristaville out here, but this is exactly the type of person that I expected to find upon moving here from the Upper West Side. And this area really is referred to as the Upper West Side.
You mean the people in the book?
Yeah.
Are the people you expected to find?
Yes, and the people that we're kind of collectively referring to,
yes,
in this conversation.
And who did you find?
Exactly that.
Oh, you did?
Exactly that. A very intellectual, politically active, socially progressive, but a lot of times self-righteous crowd. And a lot of people who find themselves horrified that they have a New Jersey license plate on their car, still consider themselves to live in New York, and consider Montclair and Glen Ridge to be basically an oasis in suburbia.
Fear and self-loathing in New Jersey.
Right.
Okay, Magda, thank you very
much. Thank you, Magda.
Is Glen Ridge Obama or Clinton country in the Democratic primary?
Oh, Glen. Well, Montclair is definitely Obama country. Glen Ridge is slightly more conservative and whiter than Montclair. But so Glen Ridge may be half and half.
It's, how about in the general? Is it swing country?
In the
general election, is it a swing county? Bergen County?
Essex County.
Essex County.
Essex County tends to vote Democrat, and it has Newark in it. Glen Ridge actually voted 60% for Kerry in the last general election.
And with that little piece of political analysis, we leave it with Deborah Gallant, her new satire about a certain type of Northern New Jersey resident. It's called Fear and Yoga in New Jersey, published by St. Martin's Press. She also writes on the website BaristaNet. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.